I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news today? Anybody? Well, if you've got a Bible, would you turn in it to the Psalms? In fact, specifically, would you turn to Psalm 4? And so today I'm going to begin a brand new series that's entitled Songs in the Night, which is a phrase that comes from Psalm 77. But when I think of the Psalms, and if you've ever read the Psalms, you know what I'm talking about. They are at times some of the most encouraging and at times some of the most heartfelt places in the Bible. It's the largest book in the Bible. And in fact, in the Hebrew Bible, it was split into five different books. There's 150 of them, except if you're in the Ethiopic church and they have 151. But they are, even though it starts with a P, I always have to explain this to kids, they're songs. Many of them are prayers. Some of them are public prayers. They're ones that address the whole nation. Some of them are crying out for help in a really dark time. Some of them are national prayers, prayers for the king, prayers for the nation. Some of them are very personal. And so in the book of the Psalms, I have found some of the most profound help. And I'm going to share a story in just a minute about this particular psalm and why it meant so much to me. But this psalm impacted my life to an extent that this was the very first sermon that I preached. And so I had been in Bible college, and I took a class in homiletics, which is the study of how to preach a sermon. And I did one sermon. I spent months on it. I preached out of the book of Habakkuk. I still love it. It was 7 minutes long. And I sat down, and I just thought, that was terrible. And so I just decided from then on, I was just going to preach from my heart. And I've never gone back. I asked my father, I said, how do you figure out what to preach about? He says, well, preach about what you know. In other words, preach about something that the Lord has ministered in your life. The most powerful testimonies, friends, you could ever give to somebody else isn't just something that you read about, but something that you've experienced, something that the Lord has actually done. Tell about a time that you were going through a really hard time and the Lord helped you. And so Psalm 4, 1 through 8 is that psalm for me. And so would you read it with me, and then I'll tell you the story. It starts like this. It says, answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress and have mercy on me and hear my prayer. It says then, it turns and addresses the people. He says, how long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Some translations say be angry and do not sin. Just means to, in the midst of your stress and your anger and your fear, make sure that you don't sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. It says, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. You fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. The first time I read this psalm was when I was 10 years old. And I'll tell you what led up to it was a moment that seems funny now, but it wasn't then, is for some reason they decided to put the movie Jaws on television. Now, movies that scary usually didn't come on television back in the 70s, but it did this time, and I was way too young to watch it, but for some reason I found myself sitting there with my older siblings watching this movie, and it was scary, and it was about sharks, but there was this one scene that was worse than any other, and I found out years later that they actually put it back in a later version because they didn't think it was scary enough already. And all I can tell you is, as a 10-year little kid, I ran from the room. It scared me so bad to the point where I actually had panic attacks from that moment on. For the next 2 weeks, I didn't sleep. Now, some of you know what that feels like, to be sleepless, whether it's from anxiety or from pain or just tremors. I know in the lives of my kids, there have been many times that they'll just wake up with night terrors. But for 2 weeks, all I can tell you is I experienced probably one of my earliest experiences with all that could describe it as spiritual attack. It's my heart and my mind were terrified. I couldn't close my mind without seeing some of the worst and terrible things my imagination could come up with. And finally, one time, after about 2 weeks, I had slept with my light on and sometimes even just waited until the morning till I could fall asleep. And somebody had given me a little pocket Bible about this big. It's one of those little Gideon's pocket Bibles. You ever seen one of those? It was in King James Version, but it just had the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. It also had something else. In the back of it, it had a little section to say, if you didn't know where to look in your Bible, where to find help when. And so this night, I couldn't fall asleep, and I was just being traumatized by my own fear and imagination. And so I thumbled through that and I said, where to find help when afraid? And I turned to it and it lists a handful of verses. And one of those verses was Psalm 4:8. That jumped out to me because it's my birthday. I said, oh man, this couldn't be a coincidence. So I turned to Psalm 4:8 and I found this verse. It says, I will both lay me down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I just thought, Lord, if that's what you do, I already had a relationship with the Lord. But I said, what I need right now isn't just the God that's going to save me someday when I die and go to heaven. I need your salvation now. I need your safety now. I began to discover a new definition, a broader definition of what it means to be saved. And one of the most basic ones is just to be safe. That's what that word means. And salvation isn't just something for the future, but I began to discover a relationship with the Lord. And especially on that one night, I discovered something new, the power of the Word of God. Just the power that it has to come and to bring peace and to bring security and to bring safety in my mind. I just began to recite that verse over and over. Whenever I had a hard time, in the King James, it reads like this. It says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And so if you are having a hard time sleeping right now, this message is for you. It really is, but it's for all of us because we need that understanding of how to be safe. Not just saved, but safe in the Lord, that he has really given us a security because of our relationship with him, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can dwell in safety. No matter what's going on outside, we can be safe and secure because the Lord is on the inside. Anybody say amen? Say amen. And so the first part of this psalm speaks of the faithfulness of the Lord. Not only that, but how to be faithful in him, how to put our faith in him and just remain in him. And so the writer of the psalm says, how long will you people, in Hebrew it says, O sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Listen, the word in Hebrew is just seek falsehood. You know, it's amazing to me how much of the Old Testament, even throughout the writing of this psalm, is that people, even though they know who the one true God is, when they're under pressure, they begin to seek after false gods. They begin to look to other things other than the Lord for their strength. And you might think, I don't worship idols. I don't have false gods in my life. But friends, remember, that comes in a lot of different forms. Sometimes we think about the people in the Old Testament as because of their idolatry, and think, how silly is it to worship an idol, to make a little statue and to bow down to it and to worship? And the more I learn about the history, and just think for a moment, if you lived back in those days, you too would probably be superstitious and would worship idols. Why? Well, this is part of human nature. When we find ourselves out of control, we look for some way to gain that control back. So think about these ancient people, right? Their livelihood depended on their crops, but they had absolutely no control over the weather. None. A bad storm could come in and wipe it out. A drought could come in and wipe out their crops, and they had nothing to eat all that year. Many times they were attacked by armies, which was happening in the writing of this psalm when they were under siege by the Assyrians. And as they write it, they have absolutely no control about what army is going to come and lay siege to it. And so back in those ancient cultures, they would worship the god of the sun, and another god was in charge of the rain, and another god was in charge of, was the warrior god, in charge of battle, and another one was in charge of the grain. And they all had assignments. And so why were they worshiping these gods? Because they were afraid and they were out of control. You know what I've noticed, even during this pandemic, much as we try to say, my faith is in God, Lord, I trust in you. But as soon as things start going south, we look for other things to put our strength in. We look for other things, even in politics or in the finances, some way that I can just get control of my life. And so this section of the Psalms comes from a place that I like to call the safety Psalms, because they're very personal. They're very much about somebody just crying out to the Lord in the night and saying, Lord, I need you today. Just keep me safe today. And so if you notice in Psalm 4, there's a subtitle that says that this is a Psalm of David. In Hebrew, it's La David. It means to David or for David. And we've done some historical study that I won't go into great deal by, but even because we've discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls down at Qumran, we know that those subtitles weren't in the original version of the Psalms. Those were added maybe 200 years before the time of Christ by the priests that were finalizing the book of the Psalms. We know that we even have one Psalm scroll where the Psalms are in different order and there's different ones included. And you look up, some of the Psalms have these little superscript or subscriptions and some of them don't. And so it was still being finalized in that. That's not a huge deal. It doesn't change the fact that it's part of the Word of God. But my best guess is when it says to David, that's an honorific. So one of David's sons, a righteous king like King Hezekiah, who was writing and says, this is the psalm that I'm dedicating to my father, the one that I descended from, just like Jesus was the son of David. All of that is just to say this. I find little things in these Psalms that show a little bit of fingerprints of King Hezekiah's time. And I'll show one of them just happens in that phrase, your faithful one. And so in Psalm 86, which is also a safety psalm, it says, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I might rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I might revere your name. And so in Hezekiah's time, the Assyrian army was coming down around them. Isaiah was the prophet. And time again, he came to him and he says, put your faith in God. He says, if you don't stand in your faith, you won't stand at all. And friends, right now, I keep praying for safety in our country. I keep praying for the doctors to come up with a solution to the coronavirus. I keep praying for a final resolution to the political election that still has yet to be finalized in a lot of states. And all I can tell you is no matter what the end of that, my security isn't found in a political leader. Neither Joe Biden nor Donald Trump can bring the kind of safety that you and I need. And guess what? There is no enemy that can come and attack us that can take that safety away from us. If our hope is in the Lord, he alone is my security. Amen. He alone is the one that can keep me safe. And I'm not just talking about physically, but in my heart. You know, sometimes even when we're not in danger of being attacked, the anxiety of our hearts is just as bad. And so we need deliverance from those type of things. And part of it comes from just putting our faith in the Lord. I said there was a fingerprint in this verse. When he says this, know that the Lord has set apart, and then this one word, the faithful one for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. One of the ways that I can tell it's a Hezekiah psalm is because he gives himself titles. He has a bunch of great titles. He calls himself the faithful one, or he calls himself the anointed one, where we get the word Messiah. And they are just an understanding that he was anointed by the Lord to lead Israel in their time of need. And so in the NIV, it says that he set aside his faithful servant. And we can take that and adopt it because this is true about all of us, that he set us aside for himself. But right now here in this verse, Hezekiah isn't just talking general. He's talking about himself. This is a prayer that he sets aside. He says, Lord, I am your chassid. I am your faithful one. I am your trusted one. I am the one that you have chosen. And I know that as long as I am your faithful son, I know that you're going to keep me safe. And friends, I have to tell you, whatever else that we can't accomplish during this time, because in so many ways our hands are tied behind our back, sometimes it's just a victory, just to get up in the morning and to remain faithful. Anybody say amen to that? Sometimes it's good just that you're watching church today and just that you got up, had breakfast, had a cup of coffee. You're still here. You still love Jesus. Way to go. You've accomplished a great deal today. It may not seem like that way. You might not get a plaque for it. You might not get a trophy for it, but maybe you should. You survived another day and we're still here trusting in the Lord. In Psalm 16, the Bible says this. He says, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your what? Your faithful one see decay. Now, the New Testament quotes that several times as a prophecy about Jesus. He is the faithful one. And it uses it about resurrection, that God didn't leave Jesus in the grave, but in the Old Testament Hebrew, when Hezekiah prayed this, once again, he's calling himself the chassid, the faithful one. He's calling himself the one that God has chosen. Lord, remember me? It's Mike. Remember your favorite one. He says, I know that you're not going to abandon me. I know that you're not going to just let me go to the grave. I know it. Why? Because I rest secure in you. You are the faithful one. And because of that, I put my faith in you. Anybody say amen? We've had to adjust our expectations on a lot of things. If you're like Molly and I and you have kids in school, you know this is a difficult season. I know the school has given out Chromebooks and we have an army of laptops in our household and all the teenagers go off supposedly to do their schoolwork. And I know sometimes they're doing it and I know sometimes they aren't. And it's so hard because I even sat down with all of the teachers for one of my kids, and they're having just as hard a time keeping kids accountable and on the right track. Come to find out, not every teenager can self-motivate themselves to get up and do schoolwork on themselves when there's all these other distractions. And plus, they've got a computer screen that has, what, YouTube and Google and the internet, so many other things that they could do. Molly and I have had to adjust our expectations. Did you know, even the school district has. I was talking with the principal last week, and I said, I just need you to promise me that you're not going to hold them back, that they're not going to miss this year. And he says, you know, they've changed the grading system. I don't know if you knew this, but now in the school district, it's A, B, C, pass, and no grade. So the worst that you can get is just no grade for it. Nobody's going to get Fs this year. And it's just a matter of saying, you know, some days and some years, when they look this year up on the long report card or when they go to college, it's just going to have to say COVID-19. It was rough on all of us. It was a hard year. It's not that I don't want my kids to be educated. I want them to learn and to grow. But I've had to adjust my expectations a little bit. I said, honey, listen, they're not in jail. They're not doing drugs. They're still at home. They're healthy. I mean, we need to just stop and give thanks for the things that are working in our life. Anybody with me? Thanksgiving is coming, man. Don't let this whole week be a week of complaining and one day of overeating. This is a week of thanksgiving. Find the things in your life that are working. Find the things that are worth giving thanks for, because listen, we're still here and we're still moving along and God is still on our side. Anybody say amen? Parents, you can make it. Kids, you can make it and do your homework. Number two is this, is that there's safety in trust. This is a big word and even it's redundant because the last word, it says, you only make me dwell in safety. It's just another form of that word, trust. And so here's this great verse that's quoted in the New Testament. Tremble and do not sin. You know, that's where we get be angry and do not sin, or be fearful. It says, when you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. That means just be still, just wait. It's okay to not have the answers at all times. Sometimes we just need to stop, still our hearts down, and wait on the Lord. Put our trust in Him. Say, Lord, I can't control everything, but I've put my life in your hands, and I know that the most important thing is my relationship with you. Friends, no matter how crazy the world gets, and it has and is still going to be crazy for a little bit of time, no matter how crazy it gets on the outside, one of the most important things is to keep our hearts right. If we can keep our hearts right, we can get through anything. Somebody say amen. How many times did Jesus talk about the importance of our hearts? And so the Bible says this in Psalm 17, another one of my favorite safety psalms. He says, though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. So even at night, the Lord can speak to our hearts. You know, I have a recurring nightmare. Has nothing to do with sharks, by the way. But I've been having it for about 20 years since I first started preaching here. I didn't have it as a youth pastor, but I did as when I took over as a senior pastor at 26. I had this nightmare. You ever have one of those when you're a kid, like you went to school and you forgot to wear your pants or something dumb like that and you're in a panic? Well, that wasn't it. Mine was, I got up here and looked down into the pulpit and everybody's standing out there. When I started off, most of my church was older than I was. And I look out there and look down at my notes and I hadn't studied. I didn't have anything to say. And I was just in a panic and I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? I look down and it's just a blank piece of paper. Strange things. You probably never had that nightmare, have you? But I've had it every once in a while for years. And it happened to me about a week ago. Little over a week ago, the same dumb dream. Now, I've been preaching so long, even if I forgot my notes, I could probably get up here and wing it. But I had this dream and I looked down and there was a whole packed room full of people. I looked down and I forgot to study. Now, this has never happened, but that's my dream, right? And I looked down and I began to pray and I pray. This is all in my dream. And I pray and the Lord gave me a word. He said, Mike, preach on this. And I said, what? Here's the word I want you to say. Preach saved by grace. And I knew what that message was right away. I knew what the verses were. I knew what it was about. I knew why I needed to come and talk about grace. But I don't know if you could look back on YouTube, but guess what the title of last week's message was? Saved by grace. And I'm not trying to call myself prophetic, but literally, the Lord gave me the title of that message and what it was while I was asleep in my dreams. Now, I think that's a good outcome for a nightmare, don't you think? I got up in the morning, and the great part is I remembered the dream when I woke up. And I said, honey, I already know what my message is, and went down and just wrote it. And so I think it's amazing, friends. God can even use those times when you're anxious, when you're mulling things over, to speak to your hearts. Go back in times of Scripture and find how many times Peter up on the roof was falling asleep and taking a nap when God spoke to him about going to the Gentiles. Jacob was asleep when he got this vision of heaven opened up and the angels coming to and fro. Times throughout the Bible that God even used those anxious times, those times when people were worried, when they were afraid for their life or they didn't know how they could survive. And he spoke to them in the night. He spoke to Paul in the middle of a shipwreck. And when he got up in the morning, they were all afraid. And they looked at Paul and he says, don't be afraid. He goes, in the middle of the night, God gave me a vision. And I know not one person on this boat is going to be lost. Friends, there are times that we just need to, instead of worrying, turn it into a prayer. And say, Lord, I just pray through all of this time that you would just speak to my heart. Give me a vision of you. I'm struck on how many of these psalms it actually mentions literally going to bed. And what happens at night when I lay my head down, something that every human being has in common, right? Sooner or later, we all fall asleep. And so it's beautiful that the Psalms point out that it's even in those times that we can commune with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Hebrew word means. He says, commune in your hearts on your bed. Commune. Be close to Him. Just put your faith in Him and allow Him to speak to your hearts. So at the end of the day, no matter what we can't control, there are some things that He has put in our control. And so we have to make it up in our mind that we can do the possible things and then leave the rest of it up to the Lord. And so it says this in Psalm 141. He says, I called to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. I love it in the Bible. They had three sacrifices a day. And so one of the reasons we know that this is a psalm, at least, that there was a temple, because it talks about offering the right sacrifices. The Psalm 4 says, here's the secret. Offer the right sacrifices. Sacrifices of righteousness just basically means do what you're supposed to do and then trust in the Lord. You know, what a great word of encouragement for us just to worry or concern ourselves with the things that we can control and put the rest in the hands of the Lord. Amen? It doesn't say just sit back and don't do anything. There are things we can do. We can go deliver a love basket. We can give somebody a call. We can be a blessing to somebody. We can do our part. But then other than that, we just put our trust in the Lord. Anybody say amen? If you're worried and expecting more from yourself, then just allow God's grace to flow over you. You know, even great men and women of God throughout history at times have had trouble sleeping, have had insomnia, have had worries in their life. Martin Luther, who was the father of the Reformation, the father of the Protestant church, he had what he called, and I don't speak German, so my best pronunciation is Anfechtungen, which means spiritual crises. He said, I have certain afflictions in my life. There were just times that the anxiety just got the better of him. He grew up in a generation where in Christianity they were living in constant fear of the devil. And so even as a young monk, he was always anxious and fearful that he was going to be dragged away to hell. It drove him to pray all the more. But that's why it was so important when he got this great revelation for the church that we're saved by grace and not by the things that we've done. He needed to hear that. And so during his time, something else happened. A great plague broke out. Did you know that this pandemic is not the very first plague that's ever happened? It's amazing at how many times in the church and how many great church fathers and mothers have had to struggle with faith in God during a time when there was a great pandemic that was killing people even in their own congregation. And so here's Martin Luther with some words of wisdom on how to deal with the anxiety during the midst of a plague. He says, you ought to think this way. He said, very well, by God's decree, the enemy has sent us poison and deadly offal with an O. Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. And then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed, in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others. So cause their death as a result of my negligence. Isn't this amazing? They could have written this last week. He says, if God should wish to take me, he shall surely find me. And I have done what he has expected of me. And so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. But if my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but I will go freely. And what words of wisdom? He says, listen, we don't need to live in fear. What's the worst that could happen? Is that we die and go to heaven? He says, I'm not afraid of that. The Lord can take me whenever it's my time. But until then, I'm going to do my very best to use common sense, to use the best information and the best science I know how. I'm going to do the basic things that seem right to do. And then I'm going to leave the rest up to the Lord. If somebody needs my help, I'm going to go help them. But if they don't need my help, I don't need to make things worse. I mean, sometimes it just takes common sense. In the midst of all these extreme voices that are crying out about this or that, or whether we should shut down, and all of those things. I just come back to this. Lord, you haven't called me to live in fear, but you've also given me common sense and love for other people. So somewhere in there, we find a balance. Anybody say amen? You know, it's just one of those things that isn't very popular, and I'm quite convinced it's not going to get you elected. Preaching balance. If you want to get elected to office, you got to be extreme in one way or another. But really, most of us, what we need is good common sense and balance in our life. We need to do the right thing, and then guess what? Once we've done what we can do, then the rest of it, we leave in the hands of the Lord. And there's some things we just can't do right now, but we're going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. Anybody say amen? Say amen. The last thing he says is this. Many are asking, who can show us any good? But let the light of your face shine upon us. Face in Hebrew also means the light of your presence. That just me and you face to face, Lord. He says, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I think that's a better translation. That's the old NIV. That you've given me even greater joy than even if things opened up and it was a time when there was abundance in the land and we had plenty of toilet paper and plenty of everything, more than we could ever use. Even still, before that happens, you've given me even greater joy than that, because my joy doesn't come from my circumstances. And so there is great safety in the joy that comes from the Lord. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my what? It's my strength. That it's joy that keeps us going, even when things aren't going right in our life. How many of you would agree with me? One of the most important things for us in this time, and one of the things we cannot afford to lose, is our sense of humor. Got to find something to laugh about. And there are things, if you know how to look for them, even the silly things that happen on the television or in world politics, you could say, all right, there's a little bit of something funny in that. Watch a funny movie. Watch a funny video. Whatever it is, I got to tell you, the only reason Molly and I have made it this many years in ministry is because we've learned how to laugh. Sometimes we laugh at each other. I know most of the time it's Molly laughing at me. But we've learned how to laugh over silly things that happen, embarrassing things, even difficult things sometimes. If you can find something to laugh about, something changes. You know, they say it releases endorphins. It's actually as effective or more effective than taking a pill. Find something to laugh about. Keep that joy in your life. Make sure that your kids just don't get so serious and so distraught about all this stuff, because there's already enough pressure. Do you remember Psalm 23? Maybe my favorite safety psalm of them all. The word says this. Would you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. How many could use a little refreshment in your soul right now? Who could use a second wind right about now? We're not quite through. We can kind of see a light at the end of the tunnel of this thing, but it's still going to be a little while. We can't give up yet. In 1 month is the winter solstice. That means when summer begins. For me, it's when the days start getting longer again. But we're still going down, man. We're sliding into the darkness towards Christmas. And then in about a month, things turn around and they start to get better again. But even before that, friends, coming into this Christmas, I've been asking the Lord to change something in my mind, giving me a way to enjoy the darkness. I don't know what that means, but I said, Lord, I can't get depressed every winter just because I can't see the sun, because it comes around every year. Have you noticed? I said, Lord, I just pray that you change it in my heart. For some people, Christmas is a depressing season. Maybe they've had a loss or a tragedy that happened around this time of year. Ask the Lord to change that around in your mind. And say, Lord, I just want to learn how to enjoy the holidays. Give me a new opportunity. Help me to enjoy the darkness. I love my daughter, Yolanda. She loves the rain. And I've been trying to have that rub off on me. I said, yeah, I need more of that. She goes, oh, I just love the rain. I sleep so good when it's raining at night. And I said, yeah, that's it. I want to start learning how to enjoy the rain. Anybody with me? Molly has taken up knitting like her grandmother did. She's knitting little stocking caps for our new little grandbaby that we get to see in a few weeks, me for the first time. My son Sam and I have been trying to relearn chess. Most evenings we end up around the chessboard and just trying to beat one another. Just something to break up the monotony and learn something new. This is a great time to take up another hobby. Amen. Well, that's enough of me telling you what to do. I've had enough of that free advice already. But I said this, one of the most important things for us to do is to find something to laugh about, to restore joy. And so I just want to share you some of the funniest things that I found that have happened during Zoom calls. How many are tired of the Zoom meetings, by the way? Well, we still got a few of them in our future, but they're, just be grateful that some of these things didn't happen to you in the middle of having a business Zoom call. Watch this for a minute.
Goodbye. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
See you guys.
Tony! Tony!
Can you hear us?
Tony!
Oh no! Jen, call him! Oh my gosh!
I'm going to put my pants! I gotta.
Hold on, I'm going to text a couple pictures of that. Oh. Oh boy.
What's up?
Tony, I can see you.
We can all see you.
There it is. Okay. So I was telling everyone that I'm standing on the Empire State Building on this ledge, and if I just.
Jeff, oh my God, did he fall? Jeff, did you fall?
A sense of relaxation, well-being, and calm. So starting just quickly by breathing in. And breathing out. And it's really challenging, I know, with children home from school and working from home, but just trying to just keep all of those distractions out of the way.
I love the reaction to that last one. That lady has just said, oh, I'm just so mortified. How many are grateful that that didn't happen to you? You might have had your own stories in the midst of it all, but man, in the midst of this season, no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what goes wrong, it's important for us not only to remember our joy, but to remember who it is that brings the joy in our life. So let me just leave you with my favorite verse of all, Psalm 4:8, and I've got to read it to you in the King James one last time. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Notice the first part of that is a decision. It's a choice. It's an act of faith. It says, Lord, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So there's a couple of ways to translate that last verse. You can say, you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. But the first time I heard it, the only was attached to safety. So it's true. It's God, the one and only, that makes us dwell in safety. But here he says, Lord, you only make me dwell in safety. Only in safety do you make me dwell. You do not, Lord, you don't make me dwell in anxiety. You don't make me dwell in fear. You don't make me dwell in nervousness. You don't make me dwell in worry. You don't make me dwell in unforgiveness. What do? Lord, you only make me dwell in safety. That means as long as you're in my life, that's how I'm going to go to bed every night, no matter what's going on. What a great verse, isn't it? I can just tell you, it's guarded my heart, my life. Throughout my entire life, I've thought of that verse. Another one is in Psalm 63, which is up on the board. Would you say it with me? He says, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. This phrase is just talking about God's protection on our life, that we can be safe in him. I want to just, can you fast forward one more slide? I don't know if anybody has caught this or guessed, but this picture, can you go back to that picture, please, brother? And so this last picture, I don't know if you know who this is, but this is my son Vicente and Yolanda. That's what they look like when we first got them 15 years ago. I can't believe it. Now Vicente has graduated and Yolanda's just about ready to turn 18. But I snapped this picture one of the first nights. This might have even been the first night that they came to us. And they were so cute. And Vicente was such a cute little guy. But, you know, these kids had been in and out of 7 foster homes before they came to us. And so there is just naturally in a kid a little bit of a nervousness and anxiety. They don't know what's going to happen next. And every place I would take Vicente, I'd say, Vicente, let's go to the store. And he goes, are we going to get lost at the store? I said, no, the store's safe. I know how to get to the store and back. And then I'd say, Vicente, we're going to go camping. He goes, we're going to be lost camping? And everywhere we went, he would ask me if we're going to get lost. I think, what's the matter with this kid? He doesn't think I have a sense of direction or what is it? But he's always asking, Daddy, is that where we're going to get lost? And then finally, we took him to family camp just a few weeks later. And Molly was tucking them down in the tent, and they were in their sleeping bags. And she was praying over them like she did every night. And Vicente looked up at her and he says, Mom, he says, are you my mom? She goes, yep, I'm going to be your mom forever. And he goes, and I'm your son? She goes, yep, you're going to be my son forever too. And he says, and I'm never going to be lost? And it just dawned on her at that moment. What he was talking about when he says, is that where we're going to get lost? He wasn't just talking about losing direction. Lost for him was that feeling when everything's taken away from him again and he's left all by himself. He was worried that every place was going to be another opportunity for us just to take him and hand him off to somebody else. And she just gave him a big hug and she said, son, you're never going to be lost again. Never again. Friends, one of the most important things that happens in our life is when we finally discover a relationship with the Lord where we say, Lord, in you, I have been found and I'm never going to be lost again. No matter what happens in my life, you're always there with me. I needn't fear. I needn't be anxious. Every night when my head hits the pillow, I can put my trust in you and I know everything's going to be all right. Charles Spurgeon used to say, they slumber sweetly whom faith rocks to sleep. No pillow so soft as a promise, no coverlet so warm as an assured interest in Christ. As long as Jesus is on your side, you have nothing to fear. Amen. Will you pray with me for a moment? Lord Jesus, today, I just pray for anybody today, whether they're young or old, if they struggle with fear or anxiety, nervousness or worry, I just pray right now that your peace would surround them. Lord, that you would just come and just take up residence in their heart. Lord, even tonight when their head hits the pillow, Lord, that they would fall fast asleep because they know that they are your beloved child. They are your faithful one, that you always hear our prayers, and that as long as you are on our side, we have nothing to fear. Lord, I thank you that no matter what happens during this pandemic, we can put our trust in you. And I thank you also, Lord God, that there's better days coming. And we give you the praise today. Today, we put our faith in you, in Jesus' mighty name. And friends, if you're at home watching and you have yet to ask Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Revelations, I stand at the door and knock. If you would just open up your hearts, I would come in and I would sup with you. We could do lunch. We could be lifelong companions. And so if that's you today and you would just like to rededicate or even just ask the Lord to come into your heart today, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Keep me safe all the days of my life. Forgive me of all of my sins and write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I love all of you so much. It's different not being able to see you, but in my imagination, I can see you sitting right there on your couch watching. And I love you and can't wait to be together with you in person. But hang in there. God's on your side. And we'll see you soon. Lord bless you. Have a great day.